You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. This is Issa Martel, and today is July 30th, 2018, which corresponds to the Qada, the 17th, 1439 of the Hijri year. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Today I have with me my wife, Krista, and we are going to talk a little bit about aspects that revolve around people with disabilities and things in society that happen because of that, and how people in general seem to neglect or overlook this other segment of society. I had watched a video recently where an incident happened due to someone parking in a handicapped parking spot, and the fact that a handicapped spot was taken seemed to be completely ignored and looked over in view of the other events that happened. So, we'll start with this and go into some other aspects that we had talked about that my wife does, which involves gaming and other aspects like that. So, let me introduce my wife. Here she is.
Hi, my name is Krista, and I go by Inclusive Mom on social media. And my passion has been advocacy for over 18 years, promoting better inclusion for historically marginalized groups, whether it's people of color, people with neuro and body differences, Latino, Latina, and the queer community as well. And so it was interesting to me just talking today about handicap spots, which brings up just a lot of experiences in my own mind that happen on a regular basis. So,
have you? I know, like for me, when I see people park in handicap spots, obviously they can be handicapped or have a disability that's not visible, which would give them the parking permit. But a lot of times we see people abuse the parking because it's the closest spot, and under the guise of, I'll just be in there for a minute or so, I'm just running in to grab a drink or whatever, or the car's still running, or my partner is in the car driving or whatever. What do you think, or what do you have to say to address this, and kind of to respond to this? To me, it's like it's just like self-righteous arrogance to me.
Well, it completely is. As for it taking a minute or the car running, well, move your car over to another spot. It can take a minute in another spot, because for me to get in and out of my car, it does not take a hot minute. It takes me a very long time to assemble my wheelchair and get my body into it and get out of my car. And I need that access side open. I can't have another car there. And if it gets scratched and dented, that's not off my ass. So really, you know, park it somewhere else. As for invisible disabilities, I do think this is a really critical thing, though, to talk about, because there is often assumption that because someone drives a sports car or someone seems to walk fine up into a store that they must not be disabled. So really, it's not the public's decision to determine that. That's a medically trained thing that happens, and a certification that's provided to park in those spots, and it's provided by a placard or a license plate, and that's the beginning and end of that. Those are the only people that get to use those spots. There are over 100 neurological conditions that can affect mobility. So that's neurological alone. There's also cardiac, vascular, and just temporary changes with bodies too. When we think about the word disability, which isn't one I like to use. I like to use body or neuro differences because I'm not actually disabled. I just do things in a different way. These things can be something that are temporary. You know, maybe someone's had a surgery on their arm, you know, or let's say for the parking spot, their leg, and they temporarily need an accommodation. When we think about the handicapped buttons for doors, I see all kinds of people use those, and I think it's great, actually, with that. Say there's a father carrying a bunch of groceries, and he has his son under his arm that's crying, and, you know, he only has one arm free, or maybe just his leg, and he's kicking the button to open the door. That's an example of an accessibility need that is just temporary. And then there's people that have a chronic situation where they need that button every day. So really, accessibility benefits everyone, and every single person at some point will use an accommodation in society. Handicap spots, however, are not available unless you have the placard.
Yeah, that's true. Something that I find interesting is, like, you mentioned the handicap button, and a lot of people use those now. Like, you see, like, the kids use them typically to go in. But then it makes you think, like, why aren't all the doors automatic? You know, like, yeah. why do they have the button to begin with? I believe it seems like when you go to Target or Walmart, there's typically two doors, like two sets of doors, and one of them has the automatic sensor and one is still a push door, so there might be some code or something. But generally in buildings that don't have the automatic door, the sensor door that opens by itself, they do have the handicap button. Yet you still find some that don't. Or the funny thing is that the button is at a spot that's either hard to notice or too far away from the actual door itself. So the door might be closing again by the time you get to the door, because either... you know, someone might not be able to move or walk fast, you know, like you envision. Unfortunately, the people that we envision are old people with the walkers, but that technically could be anybody with a walker, and you have this mentality that they hit the button and shuffle up to the door, but at that point the door might be closing by the time they get there.
Or a child that just can't handle the heft of that door and is using the button for that purpose. This is why it's just really critical to include people with body and neuro differences when designing. And that goes from anything from graphic design and thinking about colorblind viewers, all the way through something like a door or a foyer for a pool or a bath or anything like that, to have that feedback.
Yeah, for certain that's the case. Like, the design is something to really think of. And I don't know how or if it's even possible to go back and retrofit all these old buildings, like corner store buildings and stuff like this. But certainly in the building of new buildings, accessible, like, wide stuff should be like aisles should be wide, doorways should be wide, and these types of things. But I think in general that is changing, and that is something that's moving forward with that in mind. But more to me, I have an issue with than that. Because I can kind of excuse that if it's old buildings or...
Like, it costs money to
maybe exactly. Maybe, like, some guy bought the corner store and just doesn't have the money to renovate
But there's solutions, and there's funding, and there's grants and things like that for that, too. So, but like you're saying, it is a mindset that's changing, and things like these wider aisles and things like that. Again, I just want to keep reiterating, this is something that benefits everyone. It's not just someone with a wheelchair. It can be someone, you know, with a cart that's loaded down, or an employee that's pushing something down an aisle. Like, these accessibility really does benefit everyone at some point, and inclusivity really expands society as a whole and how we look at inventing solutions and being a creative society.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like the, you mentioned with the funding or grants and this stuff being available, but I don't think that it is in the public's mindset to even consider these things. Just as it's like, I don't think somebody even thinks about the fact that, oh, this is not accessible
until they experience it.
Exactly, yeah. Or until someone, either they themselves experience it or a customer or something, like they witness it.
And then they get a lawsuit.
It clicks, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is, I think, the problem, and that's with the mentality of society just ignoring this. And I have two issues with it, I guess, for lack of a better word. It's the choice. Like for me, it's really, really bothersome about the parking spots, because people are intentionally disregarding the parking, you know, and to me, it's like them just saying, F you, I don't care. It's completely selfish. I only think about myself. I'm going to park here. I'm only going to be 2 minutes or whatever. But like it was pointed out, the time that it can take to get out of a vehicle, if you have a wheelchair or a walker or whatever. And here's an example that is easy, that probably relates to a lot of people, that the excuse might be, well, I'm only going to be here for a minute. Or I heard this other excuse, well, you can ask them to move and they'll move, but I shouldn't have to ask them to move. They shouldn't be parked there. And if it's about time, what if, for example, you had two people and they, one or both, have disability issues, and they were going out on a dinner to, like, as a date or whatever, someplace social, and they were like, well, I need to stop and use the restroom at the gas station or something on the way, and because someone's parked there, the time caused the other person, because of this, caused the one person to, like, soil their pants or something.
Yeah, that
because they
that
couldn't
happens.
Get out, which then completely ruined the rest of the night, like the dinner or the theater or wherever they were going to, because of this incident. And it goes back to...
That's very realistic. And really, it's not just, you know, the going out to dinner. It's the amount of time it takes a lot of people with body differences to get ready to go. You know, having five children, I know if you and I are planning on a date, that's something I have to rest up that entire day, reschedule a lot of things for different days so that I have the energy to get myself dressed, get myself ready, get myself out the door, the process that it is getting in and out of the car, and all of that. And then if there's a stop on the way that is, you know, complicated by all the amount of steps that it takes to do that. Having that trip ruined really is a bummer. And as for anyone like saying, you know, I can just ask someone to move, I've already asked for my permission for that spot, and that was granted by the state. And, you know, if someone takes issue with that, they need to take it up with the state, because I already got my right to park in that spot. They don't have it. I'm not asking anyone's permission.
Yeah, that's a good point in that you said anyone who has the placard already has the right to park there, and the person who is just parking there doesn't. And like you said, you went through the steps to get that, reserved spot. I just think those people suck. And if you're one of those people and you're doing it, hopefully that listening to this will, like, make you change your mind, because
Hopefully it just was something that was never thought of.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we had a similar situation with our youngest child who had some very critical health needs early on in his life and going to Mayo Clinic, and we had a religious facility just a block down the road, and anytime there was services, people were blocking our driveway, just full on ignoring that there's a driveway there and parking right in front of it. And I came out at one point just livid because I might be waiting 6.5 months to get a tiny child into a specialist. And if I need to leave when that person is just there, quote unquote, for a minute, we could miss that appointment and have to wait I don't know how much longer. And with some kids, that's really a life situation. If they're not getting into these specialists on time, not only is it quality of life, but it can be length of life. So, you know, people just are not thinking about the severity of the situation, or they're too busy making excuses as to why they have a right to be in the wrong.
Yeah, and that's even in that situation. Well, one, it was never a minute. It would always be like...
No, it was
like,
never a minute.
unfortunately, these were our Muslim brethren, and it was for Jummah, so it would be like 30 to 45 minutes these people would be literally blocking our driveway, which I don't...
I could not get my vehicle out to leave when I needed to go, and yeah. I was expected to walk down there with all my kids in hand that I couldn't leave home alone as a responsible parent, go find who owned this vehicle, interrupting services, have them come and move it, all without any time spent with them arguing as to why, you know, I can wait to have access to my own driveway and vehicle. Not in America, no.
And well, it's even worse because that's not, I mean, that's just a blatant, that's kind of a different issue. that's like way, I mean, we're kind of on a tangent. That's not even
like... But it's entitled
like,
parking.
Yeah, it is. It's under that same mentality that you can just park anywhere you want. I mean, and we're not exaggerating that we had a driveway and it was about the width of a vehicle, or a little bit wider. It was in the city. And people would just park... like parallel park in front of the driveway and block it. Like, I don't mm-hmm. really get why anyone would think that this is acceptable, but numerous, multiple times, it would always happen. We actually had cars towed from there, and I would have to go to work, so I'd come out and I'd have to leave right away to go to work, and, you know, it would just get fuming because you're sitting here waiting for these other people to come out.
So you can be to work on time and not lose your job.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just ridiculous, this entitlement mentality. That stretches throughout all of society. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's definitely reflected in these types of actions where people use these excuses that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want. So...
For sure.
But back on more on topic, the accessibility issue is also great in design. Like, we were at Target the other day, and like the shelving was high. So Target, the one Target that we go to, they're redesigning the store. So it's probably that time of the cycle where Targets get remodeled. And it happens to be the one by us that is doing remodeling, or wherever we...
It's throughout the state they're remodeling. They're really good about keeping up with their branding and design.
But in any case, like the one, the top shelf is always like high. So one, it's for like a short person, like...
Little people
or kids, or like, for example, if you happen to be in a wheelchair, you can't reach... the top shelf without standing or getting assistance. And typically, you know, that can be a difficulty in itself. If you have a manual wheelchair, or if you're a little person,
or elderly.
Well, no, I'm not going to say the reach part. I'm going to say the amount of effort to go find someone. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you have a manual wheelchair, and Target has the carpeting parts. It's not just all tile. All this causes effort to be exerted if you're elderly and you're walking around with a walker trying to get it. And I would imagine just because a little person has to take more steps than an average sized person or even a kid, you know, this all exerts energy, which ultimately tires a person or whatever. I'm not really sure how they can solve the shelving issue without dropping the shelves, because that they'd have to make the floor space wider or something.
It's about space. Yeah. Real estate of space.
Yeah, I don't really know how that could be solved. And either they would have to sell less product, or not less product, but less of a variety of product, or have a larger floor plan of a store. But Walmart does it too. Walmart, in fact, does it worse, because the top shelves are even high for me to reach. And so I couldn't imagine.
Well, I couldn't get shoes. Yeah. I mean, really, it's a matter of like, if I could just share like one example of the other day, it kind of puts together all of these experiences in one. And it's really just like how difficult it is just for me to go to the gas station to get, you know, maybe some milk and hot dogs or whatever. Let's just say like, you know, 5, 6, 7 items I need to grab. For me, what it takes to do that, I have to bring someone with me. And as an adult, like, it just seems really strange that I have to do that. And the reason being is that this chain, national, or it's a regional, I think it goes under another name nationally, but this is a large...
What, the station over there?
Yeah, gas station, owned by a very large oil refinery. So in all of their other locations, they have shopping baskets, and it's just pretty common accommodation. This is an accommodation to have a cart or a shopping basket. And it's something that everybody uses, whether or not you consider yourself disabled. You have, you probably have used a cart or a trolley, depending where you live, or a shopping basket. So this place does not have them. And so I have to bring someone with me to carry my goods, because either if I'm using cane that day, if I'm using canes, then I don't have my hands available. And with a wheelchair, stuff can fall out of my lap depending on how it is. And if you have a manual wheelchair, you can't push a cart and push your wheelchair at the same time. So from the beginning of just pulling in, and this is going to get positive in a minute, but from just pulling in, I have this uneven pavement. The sidewalk is often blocked because the cars are allowed to, like, the way it's set up, they can pull their fender all the way up to the wall of the building. And if there's slush and ice, there's basically just no chance in getting inside. The door is inaccessible. One easy way around that is to make a door that's double hinged and can be pushed open, or pushed back out the other way. So then I get inside and I have my teenager helping me carry my stuff, and they're ornery because they're like pulled away from, you know, playing Fortnite or whatever, and have to come like help me in the store. And then I get up to the cash register and, you know, I just ask, like, you guys considering getting shopping baskets? And it's just a flat out no. You know, there's not even a willingness to consider. So this is just an expected thing that you would expect in a store. It's not an unreasonable request to have shopping baskets. And they're completely unwilling to do that. And this is a company owned by a large oil refinery. So I want to compare that for a moment. And I don't know if any of you out there listening are gamers, but Phil Spencer, the president of Xbox, they have begun an initiative called Gaming for Everyone. And I know Xbox can kind of be looked at as, well, you know, just not something that pertains to adults. But as devices go for Microsoft, I believe Xbox is their largest selling device that they sell, Microsoft. And I don't think any of us goes to work or throughout a day without somehow directly or indirectly interacting with Microsoft or a Microsoft product. So that puts Xbox at a very high level, 53 million users, I believe. So Phil Spencer, and this is about play, this is about play, has stated that every single person on Team Xbox is working together to make gaming accessible, equitable, and sustainable for all. And when I first heard that, was when I accompanied my son, who is an Xbox MVP award recipient, most valuable professional award recipient in the Xbox Microsoft community. I accompanied him out on a trip to Microsoft, and I actually got a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, big surprise, when I heard that, because when you think back to just what I explained going to my local gas station is like, for me to hear this big corporation, so if my local gas station can't, or just store, it's not just a gas station, it's a store, if they cannot provide shopping baskets, me hearing that this game, you know, gaming, is going to promise such a lofty goal, another one being, with so many kids spending their time in this medium, this is where we need to start if we want to create a more inclusive world. We're designing a diversity of things so everyone finds a way to participate and have a sense of belonging. And like I said again, Phil Spencer, every single person on Team Xbox is working together to make gaming accessible, equitable, and sustainable for all. So hearing that from something that's just a game, I just didn't expect it to be real. And throughout the rest of the week, all I saw is every single person I interacted with, and I really pushed to vet this out. Every person I met that I saw working there is so completely driven to inclusion and equity and accessibility. And now this is just a game. You know, I've kind of changed my opinion on that. You know, we think of anyone that does game, you know, there can be hostility there on the live environments, but really gaming is an equalizer. It's a place where no matter what your body differences are, there's blind gamers, hearing impaired gamers, people like me, use a wheelchair, we can all come together. We can run, we can jump, we can swing swords. We can do this all together regardless of our political differences, our language differences, age differences, and barriers. Whatever our historical marginalizations are, we can all come together into this space and do that. So when I hear of such a large influencer upon a global society as Microsoft making a commitment to this, making quote unquote a fun, diverse, and inclusive place for everyone to play, my hope is that this carries out of the console and out into the world and has a trickle effect into places as small as our corner store.
Yeah, the corner store issue, I think, is more the manager, because the manager there is really bad. But the gaming thing, I think, has been always in place. I remember back playing role-playing games in the 90s, but we had like online versions back then, and the one I remember, we didn't know each other obviously because it was on the internet, and it was not through a video game, it was like writing, like through email role playing, or at certain times, the majority of the time, the game was through email, but there was chat also. So if depending on people were available, we'd get together and actually like role play in a chat room environment. So it was kind of live. But I remember now that you mentioned that, the one woman in our game group was in a wheelchair, and I didn't know that for a while, and then after just talking, you know, over a course of like a year or 2 years or something, she had mentioned it because I had made a comment about something, and she was like, no, I use a wheelchair or something like this.
We choose what we want to disclose about ourselves in these sorts of platforms, and we find that we can interact with people that normally we might not think we have anything in common when these barriers.
Well, yeah, that's true. also, though, too, like, it's an equalizer, but then it also, in a sense, like, games and particularly either, like, a role-playing game or a game where you assume a character is a form of, like, escapism, too. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, okay, I can't do this in, quote-unquote, the real world, but I'm using this game as a means to be able to live out this
exactly
life. So the fact that you had this other group of gamers that we typically see on live gaming, especially if you've been gaming since Xbox Live started, there's always been these just like people that would just rip in foul language and you know, basically insult and curse out new players and stuff. So and the language too, like language was always a like degrading or belittling type of language.
It could be an unwelcoming.
Yeah, it's unwelcoming. So the fact that they are actively trying to negate this and counter it is something that is really good.
Yeah.
And it deals with all this together.
I think convincing, you know, corporate heads of, say, like Target or some of these other places we've talked about to think about accessibility when it really is an integral part of, like, say, shopping carts, shopping baskets, things that we expect to have in place, and we see a kickback or kind of an undesire to want to put funds or thinking or time and resources towards these things. And then we see something that's all about a game, quote unquote, just a game. And we see a large influencer corporation deciding to put a lot of money, time, and resources into promoting equity, inclusion, and an experience for everyone. And that goes all the way from sponsoring the Special Olympics to right on the console. But I think the hope that I have really is that this is something that carries off the console too.
Yeah.
Changes minds.
Yeah, I think that's probably what their goal is also. but like the thing like with the gas station or the store, it is like you said, it's a combination. It's a store. Well, if you live around here, it's a Super America. If you live in our region, we live in Minneapolis area. But the fact that a Super America doesn't have the baskets is just mind-boggling. And so now what I do is I just take one item at a time and go set it on the counter.
That's genius.
And I'm just like, well, if you'd have a cart, that, especially if you get like the soft drinks, like, so yeah. Typically one of us will run over and get a bunch of drinks or something, and there's no way to carry them. Even the carrier they have is poorly designed because it's this one. Instead of being like the 4-cup carrier that you might get at McDonald's or Burger King, it has 4 cups, but it has this tray thing in the middle, like for your 7 hot dogs also. And like, that's good for that, but it's like makes the thing kind of unstable.
Well, again, this comes to proving out designs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, are we trying the designs we're coming up with, or are we just trying to pass a quick buck to look like we're accommodating?
And it's just, like I said, I think it's the manager at this specific one, because I don't want to say if it's a male or female, but... though, because I know which one it is, but I kind of just don't want to call out who it is. I think they just really stink at their job. But in any case, another thing I thought about with the design is that is the wider aisles in stores, and you see some old stores like even like 2 carts can't get past
right.
in the aisle. So it is like. These are things that aren't necessarily having to do with
it is
disability. It's just
accessibility.
Like an accessibility. Yeah, and it's just just product design just needs to be better, and it needs to be done by people who are more, I don't know, proactive or just aware of good design. You know,
they live and walk and
work
within these situations, and then you combine it with the people that know, you know, the vast ends of what's possible for whatever situation is happening, and you make the magic there.
Yeah, or like you actually hire people who have these things that you're trying to overcome.
Well, that's a big part of it is hiring representation, you know, seeing the people that you want to attract, you know, represented as well. And I think people think this is just such a small segment of society, but really when every person at some point is going to use accessibility accommodations, it's not. It's a vast majority of our society. And when we talk about quote-unquote minorities, that aren't minorities. This is a majority.
Yeah, most people have some sort of limitation, I guess. Not like I don't like saying disability either, but even like you said with the colorblind aspect, so I'm colorblind, and in gaming it's always been an issue, and I happened to watch this other YouTuber, and they have a big following, it's about Game of Thrones, but he was one time talking about the dragons in Game of Thrones and said he wasn't sure which one of them died because he's colorblind, so he can't tell the colors of the dragons. And I never thought about it, but I can't really tell which one is which
until
one either.
It's pointed out.
Yeah, or because I know the one is who he is because he's the biggest dragon, but the other two are like the same size, so you can't really tell which one was which. So it is, and just hearing somebody else say that was kind of interesting because it's, isn't it like one out of like four men are colorblind
or
something?
It is.
Or a variance
of
colorblindness.
Well, it's 25% of men, and it's 1 in 300. But like, can you kind of expound upon like what colorblindness actually is? Because it's not a blindness, and I really misunderstood it quite a bit until you explained the Coke can and the grass to me.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I think it's becoming more understood now, but a lot of colorblindness varies. So I happen to have red-green colorblind, but you still see color. I guess it's a certain hue of the color blends with the same hue of the other color. So if it's these two hues of red and green together, it kind of becomes indistinguishable, or you don't see the red, or you don't see the green. It's kind of hard to explain because it sounds like...
Said like a red light can, or a green light can look white even.
Yeah, so the color, that hue, you can't see. So like with a stoplight, there was a design for a while of stoplights that had the glass before, I guess they're now LED, or they're that the intense strobe, not strobe, but that powerful light that's a solid. But back when it was still like a single bulb with the glass, some of the glass was stained, or however they did it, in a way that that hue of green, people who were colorblind couldn't see that hue, so the light would look white. Because you're not seeing it, so you're just seeing the actual white, the
just
light bulb. Yeah, the white, yeah.
Yeah.
And this comes into play also with other colors like purple, which would have, obviously, to make purple, you put red in it. So if you can't see that hue of red, it negates that color of purple. So it's...
like he'll call purple things blue.
Yeah,
often.
Like so you'll
he'll
see
say
blue,
that blue thing, and in my mind I'm thinking that's purple, but you know I know he just it's blue to him.
So
the can
like the can example that isn't even mine. Somebody else told me this example, but it made sense. That if you see a field of grass, but there's a Coke can in it,
like a red Coca-Cola can.
Yeah. You probably or would have difficulty seeing the can. Like you won't know, or you wouldn't have problems seeing it. You wouldn't notice it. But if someone pointed it out to you, then you would see it. So I'm assuming that typically how red works, anyone can see the red and the green because apparently those are two clashing colors, but for someone who colorblind, it's not. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like someone with a non-colorblind vision would see that can just blaring at them out of the grass, but someone else, you know, you'd have to point it out and then they see the shape of it and maybe even start to see the hue difference.
Yeah, that's true too. If it's pointed out, your brain kind of like tries to do this weird compensation and fills in the color. If you're really that interested, you could like Google up how color blindness works or whatever.
What it looks like. Yeah. But I think what comes into play though with accessibility there is the power of branding. And if someone is developing a design or a logo, and you want to have a consistent logo, consistent branding across for your representation, if you're not taking into account colorblindness, you're losing 25% of male audience just off of if you have maybe the word of your brand overlapping with a color and it's just not popping. So it's things about thinking outside of yourself.
Yeah, I guess that's ultimately it. And it goes back to the original point of, you know, people have this mindset of just me and being selfish, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I think it's just, unfortunately, our society now promotes this mentality pretty much in everything. It's all about yourself. And how, you know, this stems all the way down to like a million selfies and everything people take. It's just me, look at me here, look at me there.
Yeah, we used to not really have any pictures of ourselves.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting when you think about that. But in any case, we're going to call it the end here because we're kind of hitting the time point that we like to stay at. So like I said, my name's Issa Martel. Thanks for listening and thanks for my wife, for stepping in to this.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night.